From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11 as he brings the next portion of a message called The Report Card of the Faithful. The text is verse 39 of Hebrews 11, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. That which characterized all the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11, whether named or not, may be summed up in the constantly recurring phrase, by faith. As the progress of school children is indicated in their report cards, so the spiritual condition of Christians in every age is marked by clearly identifiable attributes. The very first and indispensable characteristic of true Christians is that they are a saved people, born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, as we'll see today, believers are a singular people. They have different values and desires from the world around them, for they are seeking to please God. In addition, God's people are a serving people. Once a person comes to know Christ as personal Savior, there is implanted within him a desire to serve the Lord. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Exceeding great and precious promises. If you would know experimentally the preciousness of the promises and enjoy them in your own heart, meditate much upon them. There are promises which are like grapes in the winepress. If you tread them, the juice will flow. Thinking over the hallowed words will often be the prelude to their fulfillment. While you are musing upon them, the boon which you are seeking will insensibly come to you. Many a Christian who has thirsted for the promise has found the favor which it ensured gently distilling into his soul, even while he's been considering the divine record, and he has rejoiced that ever he was led to lay the promise near his heart. But besides meditating upon the promises, seek in thy soul to receive them as being the very words of God. Speak to thy soul thus: If I were dealing with a man's promise, I should carefully consider the ability and the character of the man who had covenanted with me. So with the promise of God. My eye must not be so much fixed upon the greatness of the mercy, that may stagger me, as upon the greatness of the promiser, that will cheer me. My soul, it is God, even thy God, God that cannot lie, who speaks to thee. This word of his which thou art now considering is as true as his own existence. He is a God unchangeable. He has not altered the thing which has gone out of his mouth, nor called back one single consolatory sentence. Nor doth he lack any power. It is the God who made the heavens and the earth who has spoken thus. Nor can he fail in wisdom as to the time when he will bestow the favors, for he knoweth when it is best to give and when better to withhold. Therefore, seeing that it is the word of a God so true, so immutable, so powerful, so wise, I will and must believe the promise. If we thus meditate upon the promises and consider the promiser, we shall experience their sweetness and obtain their fulfillment.
We contemplate His goodness and His holy acts.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
First part of the testimony of faith, then. Received people. I want you to notice very closely allied to that is the fact that it bears witness that they are a singular people. Watch the wording very carefully. These all having obtained a good report through faith. These. In other words, these people who had saving faith are the only ones to whom God bore witness that they were accepted in His sight. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, we read, without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now that does not sit well with the flesh of man. If you go through Old Testament history, you'll find there is a people saved by grace. And outside of those people, there was nobody else saved. Now that, again, is a most unpopular doctrine in this ecumenical age. We're living in an age when the world has concocted a new brand of Christianity. Of course, it's not new. And it's not Christianity. But it appears to be both new and Christian. It sounds very loving. But what it is the old-fashioned heresy of universalism that somehow it's wrong for God to make any distinction between men. It is wrong for God to bring some to heaven and not bring others. And that ultimately all will safely arrive there. And all you've got to do is the best you can. All you've got to be is the most sincere you can. And even if you're not, ultimately God will overrule that. The thinking is given in the works of many modern theologians that the church no longer believes in a God who visits judgment. Any preacher, for instance, who has ever dared to say that the AIDS epidemic is one part of the judgment of God is told, hey, this is old-fashioned and you're crazy and you're unloving and you're unkind. As if you couldn't minister to people once you've announced the judgment of God upon them. We are told, oh no, you mustn't say that sort of thing. You must say this is unfortunate. And you must say that it is not the result of any particular wicked activity. You must show love. Ultimately, you know, and I have stated publicly from this pulpit before, that if all the predictions are true, every church in Greenville and every church in America is sooner or later, and I believe sooner than later, going to be face to face with people they know who are suffering from this. But if it is the result of a wickedness of life, you will only minister in love to people who are under the judgment of God if you face them with the judgment of God. If you face them with God's wrath and God's curse and God's hatred against their sin, if you tell them the truth that the law of God has them under condemnation, but then bring them to the third chapter of Galatians and say, Christ our substitute was made the curse of God for us, and he bore the curse, and he can remove the curse, and he can remove the condemnation, and he can save the soul of the sinner who's most worthy of hell. That's the love of God in action. The love of God does not deny the reality of his wrath against sin, but the love of God announces the wondrous gospel truth that grace is greater than all our sin, and by faith in Christ, souls will pass from death unto life, but only those souls. We have read about Abel, but standing beside Abel, there was Cain. And Cain labored to establish his credibility of saintliness before God. Remember, before he was a murderer, he was a religious zealot. And it was out of that perverted self-righteousness that he committed murder. But he did not obtain a good report. In the ark with Noah, there was Ham, who brought his children under the curse of God by his immorality, wickedness, perversion, and sin. Beside Isaac, there was an Ishmael. And in the same womb as Jacob, there was an Esau. And Cain and Ham and Ishmael and Esau and all of their ilk did not establish a good report with God. When you look at some of them, I think of Esau. I would say that if Esau were in Greenville today, he would be one of the most popular characters that you could meet. If you ever visit the Middle East, you'll find in many individual Arab people a reincarnation of the spirit of Esau. That happy-go-lucky, sort of welcoming personality. Esau, quick to boil over, but
also quick to simmer down. Esau, who came out to meet Jacob, when Jacob thought that he was going to meet him in anger and bitterness and slay him, Esau came out with open arms, in many ways a warm-hearted character. The best way I could describe him, really, I've talked about the Arabs. He would be a cross between an Arab and a Southern Irishman. And that is quite a personality. Very attractive fellow. But he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. Only those who have received Christ have a testimony with God. And nobody else. That's a fearful thought. You think of America. Forget about the 4 billion that are reckoned to be in the world today. Think of what? The 230 or so million people in America. Think of them. Look across this vast, multicultured country today. And then get this in your mind, the only Americans that stand before God accepted are those who have received Christ, the Lamb of God, as their sacrifice, their substitute, and their Savior, and who have been washed in His precious blood. Only they, and nobody else, has a testimony with God. Bring it right down into this meeting. We sit in the same pews. We rub shoulders. We hear the same sermons. We have the same light of God shining upon us, the same rays of the Sun of Righteousness beaming down upon us. And yet some in this meeting have a testimony before God that they're accepted, and some in this meeting have not. Brothers, separated because one saved and the other not. Parents and children separated because one saved and the other not. Friends on earth, yet they are separated by the blood of Christ, some trusting and some trampling. These and these alone have obtained a good report. The third thing that faith testifies is that these saved and singular people are a serving people. All the events of Hebrews chapter 11 took place as these people humbly sought to serve the Lord in their day and generation. You know, a man can do no more. We read of David that he served the Lord in his generation. That's a very, very important statement. There are a lot of people who profess faith in Christ and they're living in the past. I think one of the great things that has happened in the last 25 years is a renewed interest in Puritan theology. The Banner of Truth Trust in England, and later with a branch in America, has been greatly influential in reproducing many of the great treasures of the Puritan era. When I started out in the ministry, all you could do was go down to a second-hand bookstore and buy old, musty books with the backs falling off them. In fact, it was only this year that I got a set of John Owen that I could actually spend time in reading, because my others were so old and musty and dirty and the backs falling off them that I spent more time blowing the dust away than I could reading. My wife finally took pity on me and bought me a new set of John Owen. This has been a great development over these past 25 years. But along with that development has been a great stupidity. And that stupidity is of people who have tried to walk out of the 20th century and live in the 16th and 17th centuries. And it can't be done. Now, the great theological insights of those men are timeless.
But they used the scriptures to serve their generation, not to live in past history. I get more than a little rattled when I read of ministers' meetings and congresses and all the rest of it. There's one that sticks in my mind of a very erudite bunch of nincompoops that met in the south of Ireland some years ago, and they were reading papers on revival. And I knew the character who was reading the paper on revival, and if he had met revival, the shock would have killed him with a heart attack. A less revived person, you would find it impossible to imagine. But what they were doing is intellectually submerging themselves in the historical data of other revivals. But they were not serving their own generation. These men were that we read of here were a serving people. They were serving their God in their day. They were facing the challenge of their day. They were challenging themselves, the sins and the strongholds of the devil in their day. In other words, they day by day saw their task as living daily for the glory of God. How do you live for the glory of God? Well, the testimony here is you live by faith in Christ. You do not live for the glory of God merely by human effort. Though, mind you, there is effort here. There is a paying of the price here. Let me get this clearly to you. You will not live to the glory of God without it being hurtful to the flesh, without there being a sacrifice as far as this world is concerned. But as I pointed out as we went through Hebrews chapter 11, the very idea of sacrifice to the Christian is intrinsically different from what it is to the world. To the world, the idea of sacrifice is a mere giving up. It is a deprivation. To the Christian, the idea of sacrifice is the very pinnacle of fellowship with God. It is an entering into a knowledge of Christ. It is an enjoyment of the finished work of the cross and living. Denying the flesh, surely. Denying the world, but it is living in the light of Calvary. Yes, there is sacrifice, but I tell you, that all can only be through faith in Jesus Christ. You serve the Lord by faith. You get the desire to serve the Lord as you look unto Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.